Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of the Concierge Accountant Program and TaxPlan IQ software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. We discuss their path to excellence, their daily habits, and what influences them and their work. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around till the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Concierge CPA Podcast. I'm Jackie Meyer, your lovely host. It's a new year and a new podcast studio. I hope you like it. Makes me a little nervous. I'm used to being behind my computer as an accountant, but bear with me as I have a little bit of the shakes. But I've got a really cool guest today. His name is Dave Lucas, and he has a bio or executive summary of about 50 pages. So I'm going to try to kind of summarize all the ins and outs. But what's really special about Dave is that he is the new CEO of TaxPlan IQ, the company that I founded 3 years ago. I've stepped aside to be president, and Dave's come in, and he's got really amazing experience to bring to the table. So welcome, Dave. Tell everybody a little bit about you, and then I'll kind of continue on with the accolades and whatnot.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here with you and everybody out there. A little bit about me. Geez, I don't know. I don't know where to start. I've kind of been an entrepreneur ever since I was a little kid. And, long story short, I've had a number of endeavors over the years, but I've worked in the corporate world as well. And ultimately built a number of different businesses and a lot in the software as a service space. Had a lot of success, had some exits. And, we connected after I kind of semi-retired from the last exit, and I was doing some advising, and just after seeing everything that was happening at TaxPlan IQ and the kind of the way we could work together in the team, it just was a really natural fit. I think we both understood that and felt that even on some different levels that made a lot of sense. And so I was always said that if I found the right, place, the right home that had a lot of the hallmarks of some of the best companies that I'd ever built and stuff, I would really consider getting back in the game. And yeah. So it worked out really, really well. So here I am, and excited to be working with you and the team at TaxPlan IQ.
Awesome. Yeah. So a little bit about the backstory here. I almost didn't even hire Dave to begin with because he was recommended to me by my doppelganger? Is that what you call it, Julie?
Doppelganger. Yeah. Doppelganger.
So she works at Harper & Co., and she is this like amazing coach and does a lot of similar things that I do. And we were introduced last year, and we were randomly chatting, and I'm like, hey, I need someone to hold me a little bit more accountable. And she's like, oh, you've got to meet my coach, Dave. And I'm like, I've got 10 coaches. I don't need another one. You know, I've got way too many strategic advisors. Not going to happen. But I talked to Dave anyways. I was still nervous about it. Of course, it's my baby, right? TaxPlan IQ is my baby, and I want it taken good care of, and I don't want people coming in and stomping all over our stuff. But at the time, I was going through this assessment called the Zones of Working Genius by Pat Lencioni, and I had my whole team take it, and there was one of six of the categories that we were missing as a team. So I told myself, I'm going to ask Dave if he happened to have taken that assessment. And if so, if he meets that one category, I will hire him. And guess what? He did. And it was discernment. So if you've heard of that particular assessment, it's really great. There's wonder, invention, or innovation. Discernment kind of helps pull all the ideas together. And so he came in as a strategic advisor and just was like killing it left and right with us. And then things evolved just over a really short period of time to me realizing that he can really take our company to the next level. So you want to talk a little bit about what our goals and dreams are for TaxPlan IQ?
Well, I think the sky's the limit, right? So the biggest thing for us in any business, you've done an amazing job in building this business to where it's at. Most businesses never even get to where TaxPlan IQ has gotten in the short time that it's been around. And so that's really exciting. And so Now it's the fun part, but it's a challenging part, right? We got to grow up a little bit, right? We have to move from like adolescent to young adult, right? So, that it involves a lot of things, right? It's more structure in the company. It's the management processes, the SOPs being locked down, tested, making sure that things work really, really well. It's building out your teams and all of that so that you can get to that point where you can just scale indefinitely, right? And so that's a lot of what we're doing this year as we continue to grow the business. You know, we doubled last year in size, and we're probably going to do the same this year, right? And it's easy to do that in the beginning, but after 3-4 years on, it gets harder and harder to do that. So the fact that we're still on that kind of growth path and trajectory is really exciting. And so our job is to manage that really well, right? We want to do that, but we want to still be able to provide an even better experience for our clients. And so there's a lot of moving parts, a lot going on that have to be really, really focused on. And so that's what we're doing. We're putting the right people in the right seats that are really focused on their zones of genius, you know, for these different areas of the company. And I think so far we're seeing some great results from that. Over the next 3 to 5 years, our goal is to really take the company to, you know, 5-10% market penetration for our products and services. So there's a lot of work there. There's a lot of continued growth there. But I think if we do a really good job this year laying that foundation, I think it'll get easier and easier as the years goes on.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, tax advisory is a pretty niche market. It's kind of still shocking how few accountants, advisors, financial advisors, attorneys do tax advisory work. But it is such an amazing, right market. And I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that tax advisory solves every problem that we face as accountants. And so that's what we're trying to do with TaxPlan IQ, is just reach as many accountants and tax planners as we can and get them on the product, get them giving that ROI to their clients out there. And it's really just win-win-win. But
well, yeah, here's the interesting thing about that.
Yeah.
Too, though, I mentioned I had several years in the corporate space, and actually, I almost 7 years with Paychex, which a lot of CPAs work with. And so I got to work with CPAs every single day, and I had a lot of success there and was able to work with the C-suite at Paychex, which gave me a lot of insight in how to build a larger organization and that sort of thing. It was a really great experience. I think that really made a difference for when I, you know, really went back into building larger, you know, eight-figure companies and that sort of thing. And the most interesting thing that I always felt about CPAs is that they were competing in this kind of bloody red ocean, right? They're competing for effectively, basically doing your 1040 work and, you know, that sort of thing, where everybody's kind of doing the same thing. Everybody's got the same type of software, you know, that they're using to do it. And so it really comes down a lot of times for the clients of who they like more, or even price. It gets commoditized a lot. And even back then, and I was able to see there were a few CPAs that even in my, you know, first years as a sales rep before I moved on to the bigger things in the company, I really latched onto there, because there were a few CPAs that really looked at it differently. They really looked at like, okay, this 1040 work, this, you know, tax compilation work, this stuff is a commodity over here, right? We're going to do that, but we need to provide a whole new level of experience for our clients to set ourselves apart in the marketplace. And they did that really well. And they had a much better business. Mm-hmm. They worked less, they made more money, and they really enjoyed, you know, what they do. They weren't stressed during tax season. They didn't have a bunch of headaches and all that type of stuff. And so as I saw TaxPlan IQ and the fact that you have a software that literally can suck in this data and then effectively tell a CPA or even a client, hey, if you do these things, it's going to maximize your tax savings and help you take home more money. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that like what we all want, right? That's what, as a taxpayer, I want to save more in taxes. If I'm a CPA, I want to look out for my client and I want to bring more value to them and separate myself from others.
Sure.
And with a click of a button, I can do that with a software. Like,
yeah.
How nice is that, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm not competing in this bloody red ocean. I'm creating my own blue ocean, because I can say, look, I'm going to save you $120,000, taxpayer, if I'm a CPA. And you know what? We'll do your 1040 work. We'll do all that stuff. But hey, we just charged $15,000 for that, right? To do that and everything. And it's your fees are more. You have this ability to really set yourself apart with a solution like that and create a better overall business and be more profitable. So that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, I love it. And that's not that exciting to a lot of people. Tax advisory accounting is not that exciting. And so I love that you love that. It reminds me of this question I got in my Facebook group this week that kind of put me on a rampage. Someone asked, how much should I charge for tax advisory work? And it's accounting firm influencers, by the way. So if you're not part of the group, please join us if you're an accountant. But I decided to just go across all my social media platforms and post a poll, like, how much are you charging for tax advisory work? And it's all over the board. But what's really cool is that I've created this proprietary pricing suggestion tool within TaxPlanIQ that uses the financial savings, but also the intangibles that you bring to the table to combine and suggest pricing, which has never been done before. And so I'm like, go check out TaxPlanIQ. I mean, there's a reason why we're advocating for it. We love it. We love it so much. I know, though, that this move to coming back from semi-retirement was kind of a surprise for both of us. I came to you, I think, the end of November, and I was like, Dave, I don't know if being the CEO of a software company is for me, because we've gone through this entire year. I've got both of my kids' birthdays in December. Yes, because of tax season. I avoided tax season with their birthdays. And I don't know where the year has gone. Like, I've been head down. There's so much work to do. Running a software company is not as sexy as anyone makes it sound. I promise you that. Although it is a lot of fun to be able to be innovative. And Dave just already had all this experience that I don't. You know, he knows how to grow a sales team. He knows how to have regional sales directors. He knows how to really take us to the next level. And so he said, you know what, Jackie, give me a few days to think about this and let me come back to you with an idea. And I'm like, I wonder what he's going to come back to me with. And then Dave, tell them what you said, because I think this is really great for any entrepreneur in regards to the ways they decide what endeavors to get involved with or not. It was really neat.
Well, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, but, you know, I'd always said if I was going to come back and I was going to go like full bore into something, because if you're going to do this, if you're, you know, this game of entrepreneurship is the most challenging game in the world. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of peaks and valleys, and we spend a lot more time in the valleys than we do the peaks. The peaks are oh so sweet when we're there,
right.
But it's how good you are and how tough you are in the valleys that really makes the entrepreneur and helps to build the business. And so one of the things that I had always said is like I kind of developed this these points that I was looking for in a business. Like
yeah.
If it came about, like if an opportunity came about, and I sat on several different boards of companies and stuff and it helped with others, but I hadn't found where all these kind of things lined up. So for me, like one of the first things was the company had to have great core values with people that have really good hearts, right? And after working with Jackie's team for, you know, over half a year, I could see that, you know, in the core values matched up really well. There were some really wonderful people that were part of the key team that they did. They had really good hearts. It wasn't about them. It was about the bigger picture and about the bigger goal of things. The second thing, and this is, you know, kudos to you, Jackie, it had to be a great founder, right? Somebody who really understood it. And the fact that you could come to me and say, you know, I don't know if I'm right for CEO. That was a dead sign that you're a great founder, because it's really hard for founders to let go of the reins or even admit, hey, maybe like I've gotten it to a point where it made sense for me to be a part of it, but it's time for me to step aside and focus on some other things in the business while, you know, the shorter term, that 6 to 12 or 18 month focus needs to be with somebody else, which is typically where a CEO is at. And then with that, obviously a team that we could grow and develop, right? That wasn't stuck in their ways, that were adaptable and would take, you know, that coaching and teaching that they needed to grow to a new level. So those were two points that were really important. Another point was a product that I could really believe in, one that I could really feel and scale, has good market potential, has a really good market for it. And kind of what we alluded to before, I think every CPA is looking for a way to separate themselves, especially in the world of AI now, where, I mean, it's coming, guys. A lot of the software and stuff is going to do even more of the work than it does now. And that's going to get more public facing with the you know, ChatGPTs of the world that continue to get better and better and stuff. And so you have to find that way to really separate yourself in a bigger way and have a more holistic approach to how you help a client. As a potential client of a CPA or a taxpayer, that's what I want, right? And so I think the potential is really, really big for that. And it's going to continue to grow. And then my last couple of points were, it had to be a business that I could see myself focused 3 to 5 years minimum. I had to be able to check the box that, am I going to love getting up every day, going to battle in the world of entrepreneurship and, you know, those peaks, those valleys for the next 3 to 5 years with this company, and that's all I want to do, mm-hmm. right? So that was something I really had to think about. And, you know, this company checked the box for that. And then the last thing, you know, kind of back to Jackie, was a partner, a founder who really believed in me and was willing to work side by side, right, to achieve the ultimate goals that we wanted to accomplish together, because it's not easy. It's a marriage almost. And it's, there's good times, there's bad times.
There's
times where you're at each other's throats. There's, you know, it's, you know, but great partnerships can work through all of that. And I saw that as well and had experienced it. So those were kind of the main things that I really looked at and had to answer for myself and check the boxes on.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, okay. Yes, please come in and be our CEO. I mean, how amazing is that? It's just, it's such a blessing how it all came together. Let's refocus a little bit on your background a bit. So, serial entrepreneur, you have your own podcast. I want to talk about your podcast a little bit because you've had some pretty cool guests on there. And then you've written books. What else are you doing? Oh my gosh, you're like, what, top? I forgot you're going to be, well, you won't be mad at me, but I know you're like one of the top elite athletes of something or other. I don't do that stuff, so I have no idea what it is. But yeah, tell us all about those things.
All right. Well, I'll answer the last one first. So I'm a really competitive Ironman athlete. So ranked in about the top 2% of the world. So,
wow.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I love about Ironman is the challenge mentally more than physically. And that helps, I think, with the entrepreneur game and running companies and everything as well. Because it, you know, every single race you do, and for those of you who don't know what an Ironman is it's a 2.5 mile swim followed by a 112-mile bike ride followed by a marathon as fast as you can do it. It's kind of the preeminent like 1 day endurance race, right? And at some point every race you're going to hit a wall. You're going to hit your mind's going to tell you can't go any further. Right. You know, even if you're going fast, you know, and you're one of the top ones out there, your mind still is like, you can't keep this up. You can't do it. And you have to, you know, really bust through those barriers and stuff. And so every race has a challenge like that you go through. And it's usually more mentally than physically. Mm-hmm. And I love those experiences because coming out of them makes you even better. Right. And be able to go to another level. So it's one of the reasons I do it. It also helps with structure in my life. Structure, I've always felt, and this sounds weird, but equals freedom. And so I've got a pretty structured, you know, way that I approach my days and all of that stuff that allows me to be, you know, efficient, effective, and obviously get the training that I have to do it. And so it helps me with that discipline in that sense.
Yeah.
The podcast is called The Misfit Entrepreneur. So I've had that I started it really as a side project almost 9 years ago when my wife and I adopted our daughter from China. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here I am in China and, I had, you'd mentioned a book, you know, a few years earlier, I'd written a book and it was really a compilation of the things that I had learned by going and meeting with the best of the best I could find. So like the Zig Ziglars, the Brian Tracys of the world, a lot of those names, but also a lot of, you know, just entrepreneurs that, you know, $100 million, $200 million companies, $500 million, even a couple billionaires. And the whole point that I was doing on that journey was I was looking for the patterns. I was looking for the consistencies across these people that not only made them successful, but kept them there. And as I started to learn those things and put those into my life, I started to have more success and stuff. And so people, you know, after some prodding said, you know, you ought to put this stuff down in writing, you ought to put it in a book. And so I did that. And one of the things that I wrote about in that book that I think is probably maybe the most important chapter of the book is the way that we are conditioned. So everybody comes out of the womb with a clean slate. And most people never think like, where do my thoughts come from? Why do I think the things that I do and everything? Well, the reality is that we're taught that throughout our lives. Parents, friends, media, culture, family, religion, all these things shape our thoughts and thus our actions in the end, and our automatic kind of responses to those scenarios that happen in our lives. And most of that stuff's really good, but we can pick up things that can be debilitating to our potential along the way And if we don't learn to recognize those things and change them to what we want them to be and live from true choice, we kind of get stuck, right? But if you learn to do that, you can kind of keep leveling up and leveling up. And so here I am. I'm in China. I get my daughter. She's got the three pairs of pants she's ever worn. She's got the three shirts she's ever had. She's 18 months old, and she has no teeth, and she can't walk at 18 months old. And after 5 days of getting three square meals a day, teeth are popping. She's starting to be able to stand. And, you know, I'd find myself walking up and down the hallways of our hotel, just being a dad, but holding her hands and having her get her legs underneath her, you know, starting to walk and stuff. And it was hitting me during this time, you know, oh, she's, you're conditioning her right now. She's learning this from you right now and this and this and this. There's got to be a way to immortalize all this incredible information that you've learned, that you will learn, and from those amazing people you get to meet, so that Hannah, my daughter, can learn from her daddy and his misfit friends long after I'm dead and gone. Like, that's the thought that popped in my head.
Yeah.
So about 8 months later, it's still in the back of my mind and I couldn't take it anymore. So as entrepreneurs, we all know if you got something in the back of your mind that long, you got to scratch that itch.
Yeah.
So over a weekend, I sat down and said, what am I going to do about this? Do I write more books? Do I do videos? You know, what do I do? And I love the spoken word. It's how we pass things on from generation to generation through story. And podcast was just starting to become a bigger thing then. And I'd done a number of them, but never hosted one. But love the mediums, transferable, taking the car and the gym on the go. So I said, why not a podcast? And over a weekend, hacked iTunes, put up a splash page and got a few buddies to get some interviews done and then sent it out to the network the next week. Said, I'm doing this. Love your feedback. And, you know, it took off. Here we are 8 years later, you know, 400 plus episodes or so in, and interviewed some of the greatest minds in entrepreneurship from all over the world, and been ranked, you know, one of the top 25 entrepreneur podcasts and listened to it 100 countries or so. And so I, you know, never knew it would take off like that, but mission's still the same, to leave behind the treasure trove for Hannah and, you know, help those along the way with that same information.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so tell us who have been some of kind of the coolest guests that you've ever had or your favorite episodes.
Oh, man, that's a lot.
Yeah.
There's so many from over the years at this point, and I feel bad because
you know, I know you don't like inevitably miss the ones somebody. You don't, but...
you know, like I know, like if anybody's into like internet marketing and stuff right now, Alex Hormozi is really big, him and his wife, Layla. I had them on before they ever sold their company, before they ever, you know, kind of achieved the stardom and stuff. And it was, It's really cool to listen to that interview because you can go back and listen to Alex when he was, you know, people are praised in public for what they do in private for usually many years, right? And so it was like when he was grinding and doing all this stuff, and you can tell like just back then to even now, he hasn't changed a bit, which is really cool. I think,
yeah, that's neat. Cool.
Tom Ziegler, Ziegler's son.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, having Tom on was pretty cool. You know, in every episode, you get these little nuggets, right? In fact, we have, at the end of every episode, we have the guests give their top three best pieces of wisdom. One of the ones that Tom said, I thought, is really, it can work for anybody and anything. And it's one of those timeless ones. I asked him a real simple question. It was, how do you achieve success? How do you define success? And he said, success is just replacing a bad habit with a good habit and doing it over and over and over again. And I kind of took that to heart. I always thought that was really, really good because, you know, you just pick a bad habit, you replace it with a good one, get that done, move on to the next one, do that for a year. Where are you going to be? Right. So we've had a lot of people like that. And then, you know, everybody else in between over the years. So there's literally multiple MBAs in our episodes. I'd put it up against any, you know, Ivy League curriculum at this point.
Wow.
Learned going through our episodes.
Yeah, that's great. So I'm glad you mentioned Alex because I want to tag him in this episode. I tried to reach out to his group to get like a $100 million firm for accountants, which... As I was reading his first book, I haven't read the second one yet, but I realized like all of these concepts of bringing value and giving an offer that's like so unbelievable that it would be stupid not to have it kind of thing. Those were all things that I kind of organically did at my CPA firm at Meyer Tax, but I did it on my own, just figuring it out and fumbling around. And he had put it into such an eloquent method and process. So I think that's really, really neat. And then I have been to, I haven't seen Zig Ziglar's son, but I have been to Zig Ziglar's conferences before with my dad. And that's always a treat. That was quite an amazing, amazing guy and family for sure. So you've got the Misfit Entrepreneur podcast. You've got books that you've written. So I'm curious with the books, you know, I'm trying to pull together this book of my own this year. How did that process go? Someone's wanting to write a book. Is it
I don't know if I'm the right one to ask for that.
Yeah, is it a grueling process or is it?
It took me 2 years to write my first book because I, you know, piecemealed it, you know, over time and kept, and I kept going back and going back and going back. I think the best advice for anybody who's writing a book is, and I don't know, but I can't remember who I heard this from a while ago, but, and it's going to sound really bad, but release crap. Like, get it done, get it out there. You can go back and refine it and you can update it and everything. But most books never get done because, like, people just never get to a point where they'll release them. They, like, constantly refine them and they're never perfect and they're never going to be. So get your core messaging right? Do that really well and get it out there. And then get feedback and refine it. Make it better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great lesson for life. I think progress over perfection with everything that we do. And that was a huge game changer for me when, you know, I was a few years into my own CPA firm and entrepreneur and like, why isn't this all just working? And it was because I was a perfectionist and I was trying to make everything 100% when really, I mean, put it out there as it is and then make it better from there. And that's how the most successful people do it, I think, for real.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think you can look at just about, you know, any company or anything like that. When you look at where they started to where they are, they're completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Facebook was a dating site. You know what I mean? So, like, there's, you know, I think you have to evolve over time. And that's just the way it goes with any of that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, tell us a little bit more about your experience working with software companies and that kind of thing.
Well, you know, software companies are unique in that they, it's what we've gone to, right? You know, if you look at what our most of the things in society are nowadays, subscription, right? Mm-hmm. You subscribe to things, you know, it's a service. They got service for everything, you know, it's, you know, years ago, we started food boxes. Now it's like shampoo and like everything is a service or a subscription. And so that's, I mean, that's literally what a software is. It's a piece of software that you pay for, or SaaS business. You pay for a software that, you know, you pay your monthly fee for the access to it, for it to do what you need it to do, but you get the benefit of it continuously improving and improving and improving, right? And so, you know, it's cool. I love SaaS companies because you kind of get to share in the success of the company and the growth of it, as well as help shape the solution as it continues to grow. And that's kind of one of the neat things we do, I think, pretty well at TaxPlan IQ. We take a lot of that feedback from clients and we quickly get it into sprints and you know, upgrade our platforms and stuff to incorporate those really good pieces of feedback that we see bubbling up across our users. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think, you know, software is, you know, is a key to just about, you know, well, you pick the area of life and you're using a piece of software in it. And so growing a company like that, though, is it's like any other business. It has its challenges, its nuances. You can grow too fast and collapse on yourself, especially if you're growing out of cash flow. So you have to balance that, right? Mm-hmm. If you take on a bunch of investment, but then don't hit the growth metrics and stuff, that presents another problem, mm-hmm. right? So there's a lot of ways to grow the companies. I've always grown the companies that I've had out of cash flow and without taking on, you know, any outside money except for my own, and keeping very little to no debt. And so that's kind of the way we're doing things here at TaxPlan IQ, is mm-hmm. we're building it and we're growing it, but we're kind of like stepping, plateauing, getting things right. And I think that's really the way to do it. I think that it's making a difference for how we improve the product, as well as the team that we have to keep up with that, because it's not easy, right? You grow 200%, 200%,
that puts a lot of stress on your team, your systems, your processes. And so you got to be on top of them to constantly refine them and make them right. And that's why I said this is kind of that year where we're working to get everything right, you know, and as right as it can be. And once you kind of get through that period, right, then it gets a lot of fun because you can really start to scale and your profitability goes up even more and so on. And the nice thing about TaxPlan IQ that I was excited about, company's got no debt, you know, profitable. And most companies that have gotten to this point, several million dollar company, as well as, having a really good client base, proven product and stuff, they're still not making any money in the software space, you know?
Yeah, I was and kind so, of like shocked that that was the case.
Yeah. And so to see this, like, you know, like you guys did such a great job of getting this thing there. Now, like I said, now the fun begins because we get to just get this thing to grow up a little bit and it just continues to grow and help clients. And, you know, we've got some great, you know, kind of new products or, you know, add-ins that we're looking to put into the software or adjacent to it. That's just going to enhance things for our clients. And so this is fun, but it's still a lot of work. It's still, you know, a lot of the valley stuff that you got to get through and deal with. And so I think we're prepared and we're doing that pretty well. But that's all. And then once you get through that, you get your whole next set of things, right? When you go from zero to a million, it's one set of skills, it's one set of challenges and everything else. 1 to 5 million is a completely different set. 5 to 10 is a completely different set. 10 and up is, you know, a whole nother animal, right? Mm-hmm. And so each stage you have those different things you need to do. So
yeah, yep. Makes sense. Okay, I know you read a lot of books, just like me, and right now we're kind of focusing as a team on the Challenger Sale. I don't remember mm-hmm. who the author is of that, but that's a good one. It's about how educating your prospect is better than actually building a really deep relationship, which is really interesting because I love education and it totally makes sense to me. What are some other books, or if you want to talk about that one, that are really high on your list of must reads for everybody?
Must reads for like business or for like all areas of life?
Anything you want.
So, I could show you the list or the library over here.
Yeah.
I've always said about books, like one of the best things to do is just go peruse the bookshelves of the library and see which ones jump out at you. I think there's some kind of, I don't know if it's a subconscious thing, right? You talked about the conditioning before that, the student arrives when they're ready and things will jump out at you. But you mentioned the Challenger Sale. I think that's a good book for those that it's really good for complex sales, but it's also good for more simple sales. But it is kind of understanding things from a different point of view. I think one of the big epiphanies of the study that they did, which is one of the largest studies ever done, was around like the relationship builders did not do as well as what are called the challengers.
Yeah.
And the challengers are those that actually make their clients think differently and help them to think differently, right? And I think if we look at it that way, we can probably understand that, right? Mm-hmm. You could build a relationship with somebody. That doesn't mean you're going to buy from them. But I'll buy from somebody who makes me think differently about my business and shows me a way to really make a difference, whether that's saving money or growing the business or, you know, getting economies of scale that I never thought possible. I'll buy from them, right? It makes me, you know, it's that challenge of, wow, there's a whole new paradigm here. And so I think that's why that book's done really well. If you're looking for improving yourself personally, mm-hmm. Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker is an incredible book to read. And that will help you in business. It'll help you in, all those
things. I've heard of that one. I don't think I ever read it. So I got to put that back on my list. Okay.
Fascinating. It's fascinating. Tony Robbins' Life Force was really good. Actually, Tony Robbins' Life Force is what, after reading that on health, was one of the things that spurred me to read Why We Sleep. But it helps you all areas of your life. You'd be amazed at how much sleep impacts things. Mm-hmm. So that was one I read recently. I actually, one of the things I love to do is immerse myself in fiction. Like that, I don't watch TV that much anymore. My getaway is I like spy novels and that sort of thing and stuff. So there's a lot of that. I think finding an escape is really good, whatever that is for you. Mm-hmm. If you want a wonderful history book about grit and about just the reality of things, The Volunteer by Jack Fairweather is maybe one of the
most incredible stories you'll ever read. It's about a guy who actually volunteered to infiltrate Auschwitz as a spy.
Wow.
And for the resistance in World War II.
Wow.
So that's, you know, there's an eclectic, you know, bunch of books. You mentioned Alex, $100 Million Offer is really good. They're classics, Think and Grow Rich, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you've never read the, what's it called? The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Oh, yeah. That's the first book you recommended to me to read when we first met. So, yeah.
That's one that is, it's like, you read that at different periods through your life, and it has different meanings to you. It's a good one. So there's a lot of these different ones out there. Mm-hmm. But go peruse the shelves. Pick the one that really stands out to you. It'll present itself to you, I think.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite pastimes, is just walking around a bookstore and grabbing books and just sitting there and reading them. And it is so hard to do that with two children now. But I'm so glad Barnes & Noble is still around. You know, fingers crossed, we have that physical store that we could go to and continue to go to. All right, awesome. Well, I know one thing that we didn't mention as we kind of wrap up is your work in day trading. And you actually help teach others how to do this. Tell us about this.
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm not a day trader. actually, I trade most days. I don't trade at all. The whole premise is, and if you want to check out what we do, just go to 12minutetrading.com, 12minutetrading.com for that reason, 12 minutes. this started almost 20 years ago. I'd started to get some success and started to have some excess cash. And I was investing in some different things, real estate being one of them. But I wanted to kind of diversify. And so I started learning about the stock market. And like most people that invest in the stock market, you know, my first, you know, foray into it was buying and hoping. That's not really, you know, most people don't make money that way. Mm-hmm. And then I learned about options and, again, buying and hoping for different ways that options could work. And, you know, I basically broke even. And then I learned, kind of had an epiphany about the fact of how people make money in the market, right? So again, most people buy and hope, right? And if you think about it, a stock or even an option can go one of three ways. It can go up or down or stay the same. Mm-hmm. So if you buy a stock just out of the gate, you have a 33% chance of making money. Mm-hmm. And kind of when I realized that, I flipped it on its head and just asked, well, who has the 67% chance? Because that's who I want to be. If I can be 67% odds out of the gate, that's like better than the casino.
Sure.
And so went on kind of a journey to figure out the type of trading strategies that you can do that with. And then I started to have success and, you know, built a nice just portfolio of doing that, creating, you know, cash flow on the side while I was working 80, 90 hour weeks, right? So I had to have trades that I could do in like just a few minutes a day or once a week. Most of my trades are set up on Sunday nights, you know, and then don't do much during the week or have to. People started asking me about it. How are you doing this? You know, can you teach me? And so ultimately made a service out of it. And then it's grown. I've got a partner that, you know, we do a live trading room every day on day trading strategies there and stuff. And then we've got courses and all this stuff. But that's kind of, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So that's kind of how all that started. And it then grew, and you know, we've now helped thousands of people all over the world take back their financial freedom and control over it through these type of trading strategies.
Yeah,
so that's really we've I think we've averaged over 90% win rates for 13-14 years now for the trading.
Wow. Okay, maybe I need to join that. Awesome. Well, let's kind of wrap up since we're probably hitting the top of the hour. How can people connect with you moving forward? Are you on LinkedIn? What's your social platform of choice?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. From a business standpoint, you can connect with me there. You'll see, you know, obviously Tax Plan IQ and some of the other things there. So connect with me there. From a trading aspect, I keep a Twitter account for that, Dave Lucas Trader, you know, and so put out different things about what we're doing there. Podcast, Misfit Entrepreneur. It's got its own handle on Twitter as well, where we post things, as well as LinkedIn if you want to find it there. And I've got teams that help with putting out the content and stuff. But really, follow us on iTunes, follow us on YouTube there. The trading, you have 12minutetrading.com. You can find everything there.
But I think if you're an accountant, a CPA, or somebody who's in that tax preparation world, if you're not looking at what we're doing or at what we're doing in Tax Plan IQ, you should really look at it. For just a few bucks, you know, you can have a solution that really makes a difference for you, your clients, and your future. So, yeah,
for sure.
Thanks, Jackie.
And we're also recruiting salespeople. So if you're an amazing salesperson and great with people, you know, we definitely want to hear from you as well. Is there anything else? I know we've barely skimmed the surface of your life, but anything else that you wanted to share today before we wrap up?
No, I mean, you covered a lot of ground, Jackie, in about 45 minutes or so. So we got through a lot of it. You know, I think the biggest thing to share is that, you know, life is an adventure, and I got that above my head. And every day is an adventure for what we do. And I think the best thing we do is approach every single day with that open mind for the opportunities and everything that's going to come our way. And you know, there's going to be days that are bad, days that are good, days that are, you know, challenging and stuff. But every one of those things makes you better going through it. So, you know, see it for what it is, enjoy it, have fun with it. We only get so much time on this earth. And, you know, make the most of it.
I love that. That is great advice. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dave. Take care.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.